Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
I don't know how long I'm on this topic for, but I just can't seem to get off of it. I'm still talking about what? Hope. Hope's a powerful thing, isn't it? Here's a statistic on hope I bet you didn't know. That goes on stage right here. Maybe after that you can unplug the speaker and get out of the way. That can stay right there. Perfect, thank you. Make sure we can see me. Here's a stat that's really interesting. Did you know they've done experiments where they've given people a test on hope? If you can grab the speaker and get that out of the way, just unplug it. It's plugged in somewhere. Maybe it's not, so you can just get it out of the way. So they've done experiments. They've given people a hope test. Did anybody do the hope test I posted online? I won't ask you your results. That's okay. They gave people hope tests, and then they felt like the scientists could confirm who would last longest in a situation of pain. So what they did on this one, they actually did it on some news morning show, and they did the hope test beforehand, so the person knew exactly how long the person would last, and they got a really cold ice bath, like water that should be frozen that's not, but it's so cold. And they put their hand in. Anybody ever been up to the glaciers? And that water's not frozen, but man, is it colder than it feels like frozen water. Like, it's cold. And so the three hosts of the show had to stick their hand in and keep it in. It was a competition to see who could keep it in. And, you know, one by one, they took it out. And the one that took it out the longest, you know, won. And sure enough, and he's done this test over and over again, usually the one that scores the highest on the hope category lasts the longest in the water. Isn't that interesting? They say that one that has the higher hope usually lasts two times longer than the one that doesn't. Isn't that interesting? How powerful hope is. Hope is powerful. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews. While we're turning there, remember I told you that at the beginning of the service that when we pray, that we have to have the expectation that God is doing something. I heard this story. Turn to Hebrews 6. I heard this story that's pretty powerful. This family, I won't say the religion, because you could probably pick any religion. But this religious family asked if someone would come and pray for their child who was blind since birth. And, you know, of course they wanted their child to see. And as they came over, they heard the story that when the child was born, the doctor that delivered the baby was an opposite sect, was more of a zealot, passionate, whatever, however you want to call it, of this sect of religion, and did not like the one that was being born, the babies, that sect of that religion. So he purposely blinded the baby at birth. Imagine a doctor who is given an oath to do no harm. This is a foreign religion, as you can imagine, but blinded the baby at birth. And so as they're there, they ask if they could get prayer for their baby to see. And, you know, that's where I heard that line. He said, listen, when I go to pray, he says, I always know God's going to do something. The mystery is I never know what he's going to do. I thought, I got to remember that, because there's times I went in, I'm disappointed that what I expected God didn't do, but I have to learn that he might be doing something that I don't know. So as they're praying for this baby, praying, whatever prayers are said, and as they're praying, the father starts weeping. Because he's, you know, in this religion, you know, you're kind of shunned if there's a deformity. And the father starts weeping and he starts crying out. He says, I'm the one that's blind. He says, I have shunned my child since the day he was born because he was blind. He couldn't see, but I was the one that was really blind. And he begins to confess to his son and embrace his son. And forgiveness happens because the son is older at this point. I think he's 4. And they walk away, although he didn't end up seeing in that moment. He said God was doing something that was much greater in that moment to restore a father and a son and the blindness of the father. And I thought, oh man, I got to remember that story, because so often we're praying and I want, you know, of course everybody wanted to see him eyes open in that room. But we don't know what the relationship would have been like. Would all the healing have happened? But that son got healed and the father got healed. Son being that pain in his heart of his father shunning him. Isn't that powerful? All right. How many are at Hebrews 6? Verse 19, this is kind of the scripture. We do have an anchor that we had last week. If you want to put it up, you don't have to. It says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Just keep, we're just gonna kind of flip through Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews 2:1. We're gonna stay there for a second. I've shared a lot of stories about boats. I have my most famous story with boats that, that was actually the beginning of my nosedive before I went into some challenges in my life. And I'm like, well, that totally makes sense now that I was having fearful moments on Lake St. Clair, you know, and the Mike, the driver, just he kept having to remind me. He's like, Jay, you could probably walk to the shore right now. Don't worry, because it was getting really, really rough. And he's like, Jay, you could walk to the shore. Don't fret. So that, you know, I won't go into great lengths about that story, because it's embarrassing and I can only do that so often. I might have shared this story, but I want to talk to you about the drift today. I might have shared this story. I've shared so many boat stories. I don't know why boats. Maybe God's telling me to own a boat, brother. Own a boat, brother. Say that a couple times. So if anybody wants to feel that, you know, that just tugged on your heart to give me a boat, I understand. Christine Kane. How many know of Christine Kane? She's a powerful speaker, and Christine Kane is the founder of A21, which we have worked with. But she talks about her and her husband going to Greece. They love to go to Greece. That's where they got married. They're big boaters, and you know, they go to Greece, and she likes to fish, but she's not that big on fishing. They get to the place where they love, and it's sunny out, and she's like, you know, I just want to suntan and fall asleep, and my husband can fish all day. And so they get to where they want to be. It's in this bay. It's beautiful. Greece is beautiful. And her husband says, hey, honey, you know, set the anchor. And so she lets down the anchor like she thinks she's supposed to do and does her thing and then quickly begins to suntan and falls asleep. She said, you know, it was gorgeous. The sun, you could feel the heat. It was awesome. She woke up sometime later, and unbeknownst to her, she had been sleeping for a while, and she could feel the boat rocking, and she could feel the spray, and she looks up, and they're like a mile from where they're supposed to be. And at the same time, the husband had fished and then taken a nap, and he's kind of waking up, and he's like, what's going on? He says, did you set the anchor? She says, I put the anchor down. He says, no, did you set the anchor? She says, I don't even know what that means. And so there's this frustration, and, you know, he has to try to get the boat back to shore. Luckily, they make it. But this whole idea of that she did not set the anchor, and if you remember last week, I kind of alluded to it, that it's one thing to drop your anchor, and it says this hope is an anchor for our soul, and here's our anchor. It's one thing to drop an anchor. It's another thing to set an anchor, and what she didn't do is that she didn't yank it to make sure it was actually locked into place and it had caught onto something and was solid. So really, in essence, what they were doing while they were asleep, and it didn't really matter at first, but what they were doing is they're sleeping. Oh my gosh, Rod, you're in trouble, buddy. Let's do this. Can we actually hook this on? Would that fit? It even gets better if we can do this. Does it work? No. I'll let you tie it then. What they were in essence doing, they were just basically dragging along, and that anchor never caught. For whatever reason, that anchor never caught. So they end up a mile from where they're supposed to be, and it wouldn't be bad if it wasn't a bad storm, but they actually ended up in the shipping lane in a bad storm. So it gets pretty precarious in moments like that. So, you know, the question can be said is, it sounds great that your anchor is in the Lord. Can't that sound so spiritual? Doesn't it sound spiritual? Right? Oh, my anchor's in the Lord. It's kind of like when we go to church. How are you? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored, brother. My marriage is falling apart. My kids are running away, but I'm blessed and highly favored. We can have a lot of church slogans. You're like, let's be real. So we can say, man, my anchor is anchored in the Lord, and yet it could be very much just dragging along the ocean. And the more I study this, the more I realize, I don't know about you guys, but we've been through and still are, and we'll probably be in it for a while. We've been in a societal, religious, governmental, church storm. Anybody else want to agree? You just got to turn on the TV. You just got to read an article. You just got to find something. Like, you just, everywhere I turn right now, things are being shaken. Now, I'm not one of those, everything that will be shaken, but at the same time, everything that can be shaken sometimes is shaken. I just don't believe it's the end of the world. I just want to keep coming back to that. Some people go right to that. And it's interesting. You don't have to turn there, but how many know what Proverbs 29:18 says? Proverbs 29:18. You'll know it when I read it. Without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, the people perish. And it's interesting, if our vision is to get out of here, do you know that we're gonna perish? We're gonna perish, you know, spiritually, we're gonna perish emotionally because we have no vision. But the opposite is true. With a vision, people thrive. And the quote that I gave you guys from Viktor Frankl, it says, a lack of a clear purpose for the future will not only drain our energy, but will actually shorten our lives. This is the quote here. The more positive the future is, the more power and purpose there will be for the present. That's the quote. The more positive the future is seen, the more power and purpose there will be for the present. So if you're just thinking you're getting out of here, how much power is there going to be in that? Now, that's great. If Jesus comes back, awesome, right? But we had that statement the first time we started to talk about hope, which is occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. We talked about the parable where Jesus said, I'm going away in the parable. And he's looking when he comes back. What did you do with the time and the money that I gave you? Right? Two of them went and did great things with it. The other one buried it in the sand because he's like, I don't want to do anything wrong. He's like, no, occupy until I come. You with me? Okay. Hebrews 2:1 says this, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. It's interesting. Hebrews talks a lot about sailing. It's just part of their culture. And so they use whatever their culture is, they use it with what they do. But it says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. And one of the things that I want to talk about today, I need somebody that has good handwriting and good spelling. Anybody? It's always great, but never good when we, you know, volunteer somebody like our wife, Richard. You want to do it? Perfect. All right. So I won't make somebody, but awesome. One of the greatest things we can do, we're going to kind of come back to this. We're going to go full circle. But one of the things we can do, and we all do, is that we all have probably scriptures that we stand strong on. Does anybody have a scripture you stand strong on? Raise your hand. Okay, I'm going to give you mine, and then I want you guys to give me some. So just write John 10:10. John 10:10. John 10:10, was that yours? John 10:10 is one of my favorite scriptures because I've learned to decipher what is going on in my life based on John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and life abundantly. Okay? That's like something that I stand on as well as hope scriptures and other ones. But that one's like, man, if something's going wrong in my life, it's not Jesus. Jesus did not come to give me sickness, to test me. Jesus did not come to all these different things. Jesus came to give me what? Life and life more abundant. Not a little bit, a lot. So if I'm not experiencing abundant life, there is something going on in my life. I'm drifting, and it could be the result of something that I'm believing, because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's funny that a lot of the church, you know, we take spiritual warfare, but you know one of the greatest things we can do in spiritual warfare is take worship and take every thought captive. You know, we're trying to bind something, and he's simply putting a thought in our minds, and once that thought is in our minds, it begins to grow and can wreak havoc. Okay, so mine is John 10:10. Give me another one. Romans 8:28. What does it say?
And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose.
Why is that important to you?
Because it gives me hope.
Gives you hope. All things work together for good. Gives her hope. Romans 8:28. James, I'm going to get this other microphone going, make my life easier, as much as I want to get my steps in today. Need another volunteer. All right.
I don't think it's working.
Oh, that's not working. So I guess getting my steps in. Just bring it to James. He'll try. Another one. Yes. Hold on. We're going to come. See, I'm going to get my steps in.
2 Timothy 1:7.
What does it say?
God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind.
There we go. Not give me a spirit of fear. Did you get that? What was it again?
2 Timothy 1:7.
2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and everybody can work the sound system because he's given you a sound mind. So anybody want to raise your hand for volunteers to be the sound system? I saw that hand. You're going to get on the sound, are you? Do you have a scripture? Okay. I'm coming. Hold on.
Jeff,
oh. Oh, we got it. We're both running now.
It's a good thing we're running.
Here we go.
Mark 11:24. It says, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe you've received it, it will be yours.
Woo! You can pray for anything. If you believe it, it will be yours. So that's a faith scripture. And we go back to John's story last week. John, what a powerful story. Did we scare him off and he's not here this week? He's with Curtis. You know, his story was simply, you know, after he got his fingers cut off, he was worried about livelihood. That's what he was thinking. There's John. Such a great, well-delivered, great story. But I love that he heard God say, don't worry, I'll take care of you. And that promise became an anchor for him, that hope. And he's never had to worry since. Amen? Awesome. Another scripture. All right. Oh, look at this. This is great. So many scriptures, Ferdinand. And then we'll go back.
Psalm 3:23, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake.
Awesome. So it's Psalm 23:3. Psalm 23:3. If the markers run out, you can change colors at any time. He restores my soul. He makes me lie down, right? Sometimes I think our body and God, when we get sick, it's not God giving us sickness, but he's like, you need to slow down, right? Josh, I know you guys had your hands up there.
Philippians 4:6.
Philippians 4:6.
Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And that's important to me because of the next verse, verse 7. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus.
It's awesome. Good scripture. Let's get a couple more. Okay, I'll do Elaine, then you can do Ange, then we'll do Bruce.
Okay, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Isaiah 54:13.
Read it one more time.
All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Isaiah 54:13.
So I bet you turn to that when you are praying for your kids and your grandkids, and maybe it's not, he'll teach them. One way or the other, he'll teach them. That's awesome. Ange?
Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future.
It's a good one. Hope for us. Hope for the future. Bruce?
In Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path.
One more time.
Proverbs
3:5. These are great. One more on this side of the room because I feel like we've neglected this side. We'll do two more. We'll do Lisa. We'll do these three and then I'm going to call it quits for now. Hey, brother, you look good. You trying to look like me?
Try and do my best. This one is Psalms 118:17.
Psalm 118:17.
Says, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord.
Bet you're standing on that one, right? All right.
Psalms 37:4, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Psalm 37.
Your heart's desires. Close enough.
Psalm 37:4. One more.
Habakkuk 3:19. The Lord God is my strength, my source of courage, my invincible army. He has made my feet steady and sure like hinds' feet and makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence on my high places of challenge and responsibility.
Awesome. Name the address again. Habakkuk.
Habakkuk 3:19.
Habakkuk 3:19. And then we had one more, I think. Lisa came. Jean. There we go.
I don't know the complete address, but it's Ephesians chapter 6. Stand firm, keep standing, having done all, keep standing.
Ephesians 6. Awesome. How many feel those are good scriptures to stand on? I think we all could, and you probably have something. If you don't, I would encourage you, find some scriptures that you can stand on. It's so important. What I want to do now with these scriptures in mind, Claude, would you mind? You're going to have to play the role of Jesus today. It's a stretch, but if you could sit in the chair. You have more hecklers than I do. I love it.
I love it too.
Well worn. So, what I'd like to do, let's go back to Hebrews 6 and read that scripture one more time. Verse 19, it says, this hope, and we're going to read that in a second because it's not talking about hope. It's actually talking about the promises of God, our hope. And it says, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become the high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. It's interesting, when you are in the ocean and you are casting an anchor, you know, a lot of times where we would go, where I would go more likely, I could probably see the bottom. I'm not going too far out. I've been out with Bruce and we're a little further out. I'm sure when you drop the anchor, you can't always see. But you think about the ocean, when they're dropping anchor, they're dropping the anchor into the unknown, hoping to catch on to something. But the first thing you need to know about the anchor, if we're going to like understand what does it mean to anchor, is the anchor is not dropped into the unknown. It's actually dropped into the veil, the Holy of Holies, the presence of God where Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. Like, it's not some obscure place. Jesus, the high priest, became the lamb that was slain so he could be the high priest forever and sits on the throne. So here's the thing we need to understand is Jesus is our what? Salvation. If you can hold that, sir. Go back to, switching back and forth. You being good? I actually now fear having you behind me. It says in Hebrews 2, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard or the truth, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Jesus' salvation wasn't some small salvation. You got to remember, the Old Testament was based on the sacrifice of lambs on a regular basis for their righteousness and their salvation. We have salvation in Jesus, a one-time thing that he did that we just need to receive. So what I want you to start with is that if you're going to anchor yourself into anything, your anchor, first and foremost.
Where do you want this?
That anchor, first and foremost, and I'm going to go back to this over and over again, needs to be Jesus' salvation. How can we neglect such a great salvation? If you're wondering where my anchor has to be, your anchor has to be Jesus' salvation. Jesus' salvation. Now, I'm gonna call you up and I'm gonna ask you to just take a chair from the front if I do call you up. Weston, why don't you come on up and take a chair? Why don't you take a chair too, brother? Just bring it up and you can kind of line two chairs, give a little bit of room, but kind of space yourself beside Claude. Ryan, why don't you come on up, grab a chair? Just picking guys, because, you know, you can come up if you want to grab a chair. And you want to grab a chair, Megan? You can sit beside your husband. You're good. Richard, come on up, grab a chair. So here's what I've noticed without meaning to. I'm going to be transparent. I can say, Jesus, my salvation. And I realize in this tumultuous storm that we've been in, over the last few years, and it's not just COVID, that I began to realize that my anchor, although I would say Jesus is my anchor, but I discovered that my anchor sometimes is lodged in other things. We talked about last week, it could be a friend. Now, I don't think at any point my friend was Jesus my anchor. I think I have enough wisdom to understand that somebody cannot be my anchor. There's moments, though, when somebody betrays you, hurts you, lets you down, that really shocks the soul. And when it shocks the soul, I have to go back to Jesus, my salvation. Everything has to start with Jesus, my salvation. Now, here's what's interesting. I'm going to give us a few. Oh, this is a fun one to start with. What if we have revival? Revival is our hope. Now, please understand that these are all good things, and I'm not saying they're bad. I want to make sure you understand. He's talking bad about revival? No. But what if revival is your anchor and hope? Revival, 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 revival. And what happens if while you're waiting, you wait so long, disappointment sets in. And without realizing over the years, your salvation or your hope rested in the coming of a revival. And you push and push and push, and disappointment hits you to the point where you begin to start to drift in your faith. Right? We've been waiting to see a great revival for a long time. And I realized through the years that my disappointment was that boat, instead of that being anchored, it was just drifting on the ground, and my boat was drifting a little bit because I want revival, right? Come on, you with me? Just give me some feedback here. Oh, sorry, brother. Here's another one. Prophetic. Pastor Rod made a statement a while back about the prophetic, and we've all talked as staff and all that. Over the last few years, the prophetic has taken a hit. Now, I want to say this. I love our prophet. Pastor Rod is a prophet. I love our prophet. He's got a great heart, and I've watched him take beatings for words that he's given because it's not received or different things, and I truly believe your prophetic words. But how many watched over the years, you know, last few years, governmental prophecies about who would get elected? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, somebody's gonna get elected, and when they're not elected, then what do we do with every prophetic word? And then I watched two of the people, at least, that gave the prophetic words, apologize for getting a false prophetic word, and then they got hate mail from the Christians for giving the prophetic mail, their ministries dried up, prophetic mail, prophetic word. Their ministries dried up. They got death threats from Christians. Well, what does that mean to me? That you put your anchor into prophetic words. And what happens when those prophetic words don't come to pass, at least in the timing that we think? Because they were actually prophesying that he would get in for a second term. Boom, right there. Now, I know it'll be interesting to see if he gets in again. I knew it all along. See, I told. Anyway, here's the thing, though. Prophetic words, when they don't come to pass all the time, or if it's a prophetic word that's not accurate, and you have put your trust and your anchor into that prophetic word, and it doesn't come to pass, you begin to get mad at God, which can lead to drifting from God. You go from that sunny day where you're basking in the sun and you're resting, and before you know it, your anchor's dragging on the ground because it's not into salvation, and you're drifting. And I realized I had some, like, I think some of my anchors were in prophetic words, even in my own life. And then you get angry with God. That is truth. Have anybody ever admitted, you have admitted, I got angry with God? There is nothing wrong. We have to realize that you can talk to God and go, God, I'm angry. I don't understand. That's called communication with our Father. I have one in here. This kind of goes together. I'm going to put them together. Oh, so many anchor points. Oh, here we go. Sorry, brother. You got to do both these. Oops. Pastors and mentors. You can just hand over the anchor. Sometimes people don't realize that they've put their anchor into a person, a mentor, a pastor, could be a prophet, an evangelist, could, like, somebody that you respect. And how many know over the last few years, people's lives have exploded publicly? It's terrible. Just saw something recent. Like, this has no place to be on the internet. Nobody has the right to expose somebody else's faults unless you want your faults to be exposed as well. I hate the internet for that. Everybody stands behind their keyboard, and it's easy to type when your sins have not been exposed, but everybody has faults. Now, some of these have been big blow-ups. And when you have big blow-ups and you put your anchor into somebody, especially if you're at that church, and it's not Jesus that's your anchor, it's your pastor that's your anchor, how many know you're in trouble? And there are a lot of Christians, unfortunately, that have left the church. Now, here's what I think we need to do is recalibrate and realize, listen, I am human. Everybody look at your neighbor and go, wow, I didn't know that. No, you knew that. The reality is that I have faults. Karen, you're not allowed to talk. You look really too excited to see. Yeah, see, I knew you'd say something like that. I'm going to need counseling after this, Rod. Reality is I have faults. You know that my calling is just like your calling? Some of you are called to be dentists, and, you know, whatever it is, it's your calling. I'm so thankful, though, that, man, can you imagine if every time you went to your dentist, you pulled up all his junk? You weren't sure if you wanted him to clean your teeth because he was, you know, he did something that he shouldn't have? Reality is we're all on a journey to get closer to God and more like God, right? So if your anchor isn't even a mentor, you can get really, really disappointed. Here's a tough one. This would go with promises. Can that not be a stumbling block? Now, we're going to talk about this. Jesus is our salvation, and Jesus' salvation means healing. It means prosperity. Like, salvation means a lot of things. And that's why it's confusing sometimes when we're battling for healing and we don't see it. It is easy for the person that's battling, but also the people that are battling with them to drift. I've had some moments of people that I've known or people that I have, you know, I've known from a distance that have rocked me and have challenged me. And I realize that my anchor was starting to be into what Jesus did and not always Jesus himself. And when it's not in Jesus himself, when he doesn't do what I expect him to do, I'm dragging the anchor on the bottom of the ocean and I'm drifting. Benny Johnson would be a perfect example. That rocked me. Because I thought, surely if a church is going to see somebody healed, this is the church, Bethel. Like they are, like people from all over the world were praying. We're talking about the people that see healings all the time. And she passed away. And I was left with that mystery going, I don't know what to do with that, Lord. And what I'm beginning to see, and I don't like it, but what I'm beginning to see is that I was locked into the healing. That was becoming my anchor. And if it doesn't happen, what do you do? Well, because it wasn't locked into Jesus, my salvation. That's scary. Because we're all wanting to see the kingdom of heaven come now fully. And sometimes it's like kingdom is here, and sometimes it feels like it's fuzzy and we can't figure out. But I have to be locked in Jesus, the salvation. We can go through friends, our spouse. Here's another one. It can get messy when we don't have, oh, we could do this. We'll put this with prophetic business and promises. What if we have a prophetic word over our business and then we feel like we have a promise that it's going to go well, boom, and it doesn't happen? Like, we're going to open up our forge in Essex. I was going to put a lot of money into that, and I'm so thankful that it didn't work out, because right after we would have got established, COVID would have hit. I would have drained everything in my savings, and not only that, every person I called, I would call prophets, I would call people, I talked to people, and everybody would be like, this sounds like a good idea. This sounds like a God idea. I think you should do it. Not one person told me I shouldn't do it. Claude was actually the only one that challenged me from a business perspective to you know, make everything meet. But the people of God were not telling me not to do it. And maybe God would have found a way to get me through. I don't know. But I would have been thoroughly disappointed if the promise, the prophetic word of the business didn't come to pass and I lost everything. I would have drifted, right? For me, I'll give you another one. What do we have left? Money, we could talk about money. Who wants to hold this one? Because I need healing sometimes from this. Congregation members. As a pastor, it's easy to sometimes put your hope in what's happening in the congregation, in your church. This would be the same for anybody in business. For me, this is what I do. So I put my hope into what's happening with people. And when people disappoint, hurt, leave, bite, whatever you want to say, I can realize that my anchor is in the people instead of going back into Jesus. And that is so, so, so dangerous. So here's what I want to get back to. I'm going to use a chain. I'm going to bring the anchor back to where it belongs. It's interesting. It says, do not neglect such a great salvation. I'm learning, church, no matter what, if I don't start with my anchor in the great salvation, I'm going to drift. As a charismatic church, an evangelistic church, as a church that wants to see revival happen, our first and foremost anchor point has to be Jesus' salvation. If we veer from that, and if we veer from our hope to see other people saved, we're going to drift even as a church. But when we get it back to Jesus, our salvation, now here's the cool thing. Here's the anchor, and here's the chain. You know, have you ever seen, let's put it near you. Have you ever seen the chains on those huge cruise ships? Good Lord, they're amazing. I think when you get saved, you know, you start with a rope. And I think as we get saved, when we keep Jesus as our salvation locked into place, here's what I want you to learn is that the chain that it's attached to, so my salvation needs to be into where Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, salvation. That's why Colossians says, be seated above. So man, I love when I can get into that place with Jesus and see above my problems. But how many go there every day? You're like, man, every day I wake up and I'm above every problem I have. Okay, everybody else is like me. That doesn't always happen. How many have had moments where you climbed on the lap of Jesus, you prayed, you could see over the problems? Raise your hand. All of you have that at some point. You just don't realize when you climb above, and sometimes it could be for a minute, 30 seconds, an entire day, and sometimes you can live there. I have to give credit to my mom when she found out, I don't know how many years ago now, that my dad was supposed to go in for a biopsy. They botched the biopsy. He was bleeding out. They messed the whole thing up. She's in Africa. So this is where I'm so thankful my anchor is with Jesus. And Jesus used the prophetic, and Jesus used healing, but my anchor had to be with Jesus. Because I'm in with, actually, Claude was so great to be there, and they're doing an operation because he is bleeding out internally. It's bad. He could die. The doctor does the operation. He's like, the next 24 hours will determine whether he lives or dies. I'm at the hospital. I have to drive home at about 5 in the morning and call my mom, who's in Africa, that her husband might die. As I'm driving home, I remembered a prophetic word given to me from Greg DeVries. It was a word that was like, he's like prophesying, it's good stuff, and it's good stuff, and it's good stuff. And then in the middle of it, he says, there'll come a moment when something's going to happen, and you're going to have to stand on the Lord. I'm like, can we go back to the good stuff? Like, it was like, it turned a corner. It was really intense. And he said, you'll remember this word. I'm driving down the road at like 3 or 4 in the morning, and I remember the word. And it's funny because that word is not funny. That word gave me strength. It was like this breath of air that I could breathe again, because I'm like, how do I call my mom? I call my mom in Africa. And in that moment, she hears about her husband. She's got to finish teaching, find a plane ticket out of there with her whole team and get back here, not knowing if her husband would live or die. So in that moment, my mom, one thing she is so good at is, it's a word she uses, is intimacy with God, where she can climb up, we'd say, on the lap of Jesus, or get before the Lord and go, Lord, I need your strength and to see above this. And so she did. And she taught a class and she marked papers and they got an airline ticket and they got home. That's the goodness of God. But in that moment, this chain that had grown from years of prayer, it was not attached to his healing. It was attached to Jesus' salvation. I don't know if he's going to make it, but Jesus, you're still my father. So I need strength to get through this. And miraculously, within 24 hours, he was shaving, sitting up and shaving. Like, nurses would come by and they'd do a second, aren't you John Armley? Like, he wiped out, I believe, all the... Like, he was having blood transfusions and all that, and can't remember what else it was, but he like took almost the supply that they had. Like, it was bad. Yet he still had to walk through a lot of pain, but God saved him. It's awesome. So you need to know that your chain, so let's go back to what we know. We know that our anchor has to be salvation. Salvation is healing, prosperity, and all the amazing things that we've talked about here. But it needs to start with that great salvation. Because in the end, no matter what, if you know Jesus and you've accepted him and you are a disciple of Christ and following him, however things turn out, one day you will spend eternity with the King. That is the one anchor point that we need to keep. All right? Now, here's the thing. We talked about the fact that we can stable ourselves with people in our life, and sometimes we need to do that. When the wind begins to go and all that, we need to have people, but our anchor still has to be Jesus. Still always has to be Jesus. So people are our anchor point. Now, here's the thing. Every one of these rings, I believe, the thing that attaches to that anchor are the words and the promises of God that we talked about over here. Hebrews 2:1 said again, therefore we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. What did they hear? Well, they heard these things that have been written out for us, called Scripture. Truth that we go back to over and over again. And it is easy in our charismatic world, our evangelistic world, in a world where we're seeing all these things, it's easy to go to one of these things. You can put those, you guys have been amazing. Thank you so much. But it's easy to go to one of these things to get our strength when we have to go back to Jesus, you're my strength. And I got to lock into that. That has to be, I got to set my anchor there. I got to make sure it's tight and I'm going to keep it there. And I've had to do that. I've had to, like, some of the very core elements that I've believed in, not that I shoo them away, but when they've gotten so confusing, I'm only processing now that I've had to learn to go, I don't know right now about that, but I got to go back to Jesus. Like, I don't know about all the prophetic and how it's gotten so out of whack and why, like, it is just off the charts, weird at times. Okay, I'm going back to Jesus. And then he'll remind me of a prophetic word that I can hold on to that I know is true. And a lot of those prophetic words have been spoken into my life for me. Not about some great event that's going to happen. It's simply some of the greatest words I've had are who I am and who the Father is to me. And I count that as one of those rings in that chain. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus, you've come to give me life abundantly. And every time I have those scriptures and every time I can have those promises, it's like that chain is getting longer and longer. And every time that chain is getting more solid, it's literally getting bigger in my spirit. But I can't let that anchor leave the place of this seat. Because if I do, I'm going to drift. And man, I'll tell you, there are a lot of people drifting right now because of what they've heard, read, or can't understand. And I think that's partly because we've gotten away from this. How can we neglect such a great salvation? Just before that scripture is spoken about him being our anchor, the author goes into this beautiful thing of God being both the promise, the oath, and the sacrifice, because there's no greater. He starts and says, you can only swear by a greater name than yourself. You know, if I swear on my name, it's probably not any good. But if I swear on my Father's name, it's pretty intense. And God's like, well, who do I? I'm going to swear on my own name because I'm the biggest in the world. I'm going to swear on my oath and I'm going to swear on my sacrifice. And that's why it's going to be a sure sacrifice and an anchor for your soul. And man, what more can you get? Where are you going to put your anchor that's any better than that? God making an oath, Jesus making a sacrifice, him resurrecting and being seated at the right hand of the Father, and our anchor is set and locked into that. So I want to encourage you, when things are going crazy, check to see, maybe my anchor's kind of shifted a little bit, and I've put it into a person instead of Jesus. Because if you're in a congregation and you're looking for the perfect pastor, you're going to look for a long time. If you're looking for everything to make sense, you're going to be looking for a long time. Because I have found there are a lot of mysteries in this world that I don't understand. And yet I have to go back to Jesus, you're my anchor and you're not moving. Right? Why don't you stand? Thank you, guys. I'll leave you with this thought. A lot of my life, see, some of the things that are shifting are absolutely okay, because a lot of my life I had beliefs about God that were not biblical. They were religious. So I had a lot of angry God beliefs. Like when I sinned, God was angry at me. When I messed up, God was angry. I'm so thankful that grace has come into my life and that's shifting, because one of the things you got to keep in mind with something like this, if your anchor, if you're here and you're like, I think my anchor has shifted, here's the most beautiful thing. Look at the prodigal son. The prodigal son shifted his anchor, did he not? His anchor was in the Father's kingdom. And one day, we don't know why, but obviously things started to bombard him. And the only thing I can think of, it's like Genesis 1 and John 1, where it says the lust of the world and all that began to get to him. And he started to think that maybe there was a world better out there. And it started to shift his anchor. But here's what I love about that story. When he came to himself, it says, he went to the Father. Now, here's the thing. He wanted to position himself as a servant. And when he got to the Father's like, no, you're my son. There's no moment in that story of rebuke. There's a moment he's repenting, going, just make me a servant. I realize where I've been. I've been in a horrible place. And the Father instantly goes, no, come on. I'm going to put the ring back on your finger. You know what I realized today when I was reading that scripture? He had probably sandals, a ring, and a robe. He pawned them, in my opinion, because he was part of the kingdom already of his Father. So I think he pawned those for money or left them there. And when he came back, he's like, no, this is your rightful place. I'm your anchor. Get right on track. I'm your Father. You're my son. And so if you're here today and you've drifted in any way, there is no condemnation, because I can assure you that at some point, we've all drifted at some point. Got a little off track, a little off in our theology, whatever it would be. But God's like, hey, I am here. I'm so thankful to see you back. Just climb up, put that anchor in. Amen. So Lord, I thank you that you are such a gracious Father. Lord, even when I have hecklers in the audience, right back at you. No, Lord, we do thank you for being such a gracious Father. We thank you that your love knows no end. Lord, you are constantly helping us to anchor again and get out of the drift. So Lord, we just today, we even as we go home, we take note, we take stock of where maybe we are. Maybe we've put our trust in something that is not you. Maybe we've let that anchor sit somewhere that is not you. And so Lord, I pray even over the coming hours and days that you would just begin to work on our heart and show us where maybe we've got that anchor in the wrong spot. And Lord, I thank you, like the prodigal son, you just invite us right back and you say, you are my son. Really, we've never stopped being your children. And we reposition ourselves. We reposition our anchor. We thank you for your love and your mercy. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.